spoke about last week. We spoke about having the courage to change and the importance of change. We looked at Pentecost and what it meant, how the world was changed forever once the Holy Spirit was poured out. We discussed the concept of nothing ever being so good that there's no room for improvement, and having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And we asked some pertinent questions. This is just a recap. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the series off our website, or alternatively, you can bring a flash drive. The sound guys will gladly give you one. Is fear of the unknown keeping us from growing? Is our refusal to embrace godly change stopping us from growing? Has the comfort of our current situation made us unwilling to embrace God's next move? Are we so fixed in our ways that we've stopped growing? And isn't the gist of the gospel message about improving and about growing? We looked at a passage of scripture where Jesus teaches about old wine going in new wineskins, Luke 5:36-39. And we looked at the two different Greek words for new, one meaning new in time and one meaning new in kind. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit isn't new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because He's God, just like Jesus is God and God is God. But sometimes God needs new instruments, new systems, new methods, new people in place for Him to bring about His new work. Can you say amen? So it speaks about, in Luke 5:38, about new wine going in new wineskins, a change of vessel or a change of attitude or a change of people. And we looked at the fact that if I, as the pastor of this church, am not keeping my heart and my life aligned with the Word of God, then you must pray that I do. And if I don't, then God must remove me. Amen. Because then I'm not the man for the job. Some of you think, yeah, well. And we joked last week and said, some of you have been praying that for a while already, but you'll get over it. So this week we're looking at the title, Still Courage. Courage number 6, courage to lead. Having the courage to lead. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, the scripture says this. If you've got your Bibles, turn there or touch there on your screen or look on the overhead. Mark 1:17, and it says, then Jesus said to them, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's Mark 1:17. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So by way of introduction, I'd like to show you a video clip that's done its rounds several years ago. And it's relevant for what we're going to speak about today. So it is an old video clip, but the lessons are still valuable and true for that. I'd ask if the guys could just get the lights for us, please, in front here. Just dim the house. And popcorn's not going to come around. Nee, this is Dawson, he does reg. This is all to his Dawson. There we go. This is a... It's called Leadership Lessons from a Dancing Guy. And you're probably going to, if you're in a good mood this morning, which I trust that you are, you're probably going to start laughing at what you see. But I ask that you pay particular attention to what is being said. Because as jovial a manner in which it is brought across, the principles in there are so, so true and so relevant. So sit back, relax, in the next few minutes, enjoy Leadership Lessons from a Dancing Guy.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore, it's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut, and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd, and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers, because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point, and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals, making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? Leadership is over-glorified. Yes, it started with the shirtless guy, and he'll get all the credit, but you saw what really happened. It was the first follower that transformed a lone nut into a leader. There's no movement without the first follower. See, we're told that we all need to be leaders, but that would be really ineffective. The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
Okay, so everybody follow me. Yeah, yeah. You can relax. Leadership lessons from a dancing guy. The first follower is the one that makes the lone nut into a leader. And leadership is over-glorified. But speaking about leadership, may God, by His grace and by His Spirit this morning, land the following truths in our hearts where they need to land. Make these following statements. Before getting the courage to lead, we must have the courage to follow. How many of you have been to leadership seminars, leadership courses, and received leadership training? Please raise your hands. Put your hands down. How many of you have been to fellowship courses, fellowship training, and following courses? Please raise your hands. Maybe that's why there's such a lack of leadership in the world today. Last, personally, in the churches. Today, people are celebrating what's known as Youth Day. It's a time in the history of South Africa where people were killed and shot and used riot for various reasons. Now, I'm not a historian or a politician, but I know this much is because of lack of godly leadership that happened. It's because of a lack of godly leadership that it happened. See, people are coming up with all sorts of researches and studies as to why families are dismantling, why the world is dismantling, why government's dismantling, why churches are falling apart. It's because there's a lack of godly leadership. Places are full of males, but very few men. Male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of choice. Christ-likeness and manhood are synonymous. I was sharing with a gentleman yesterday that whether women know it or not, God has created them to be attracted to men who are like Jesus. It's because of a lack of that a thing called woman's lib was birthed. Because women were looking for godly leadership and they found males with too much testosterone, but no men that were like Jesus. Before that, there was no such thing as woman's lib. They're doing studies as they're trying to find out how come people are ending in prison, at what ages. It boils down to the same thing. No godly leadership within the homes. That's the crux of the matter. From the very lowest levels of society to the uppermost levels of the leadership of an entire nation, lack of godly leadership. Now there's leadership, but godly leadership. So this morning I believe God wants us to look at the principle of following. Before you get the courage to become a leader, you must first have the courage to follow. Two of the biggest challenges that anybody that is ever called to leadership will ever face is the following. And if you're an aspiring leader and you have dreams of becoming a whatever, whoever, these are the tests you're going to face. Are you ready? Humility and waiting. Humility and waiting. Those are the two tests you're going to have to face if you're a leader that is called by God. If you're a dictator and want to be somebody's boss, there's a whole lot of other tests for you. But that's for another time. The best followers, the best leaders are the best followers. The best leaders are the best followers. If you cannot follow instructions simply in humility and clearly, you're never going to make an effective leader. I don't care how good you are, how talented you are, how skilled you are, your gifting and your abilities do not make you a good leader. It will turn you into a rock star, a famous somebody that earns fame, but to be a leader, you need to be a good follower. Is it meaning something to somebody this morning? Listen to this one. When the Holy Spirit gave me this, I was like, phew. If authority exalts you instead of humbling you, you're not mature enough for it. If authority exalts you, ek die national praise van die hemel bestormers. If authority exalts you instead of humbling you, you're not ready for that authority. Authentic authority comes from authentic servanthood. Serving. Not groveling and being a doormat, but serving. Not with a motive to be groot baas one day and the main peanut in the packet, but with a genuine Christ-like humility to serve. When I was still a detective, God taught me this. The greatest aspiration that any human being could ever aspire to become, the greatest position in life, I'll tell you how it came about. There was a time when people were kind of, when you gave a business card, they were kind of into what were the abbreviations behind your name in terms of your qualifications, degrees and diplomas, etc., etc. Now, I've got degrees and diplomas and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't want to put any of that there. So I put born again. I put BA. So people would ask me, you know, do you have a BA degree? No, I'm born again, because if I'm born again, I have the mind of Christ, and that's all the brain power I need. Needless to say, I could start a conversation with that. So they're into your qualifications and what you can do and stuff like that, but if you don't have an aspiration to serve, your qualifications, well, you know, it's just going to be out of balance. Can I put it that way? All right. So if your authority exalts you instead of humbling you, you're not ready or mature enough for that. And people are so hung up on titles. We were speaking about the whole pastor deal, and how it's offensive to some people when they say, "Hey, pastor, hoe gaan het?" Ek sê, "Hey, pastor, yourself," and I understand the heart of it and that. But there was this particular guy. I mean, growing up in the culture of Bikers Church, we're not hung up on titles, although it has its place and stuff like that. But growing up in the culture of Bikers Church, and I was introduced to my first pastor by his first name, so I greeted him by his first name. And then I realized that he's not my chaba, he's not my chana or my pal. He's the person that's willing to lay down his life so that I can become like Jesus. So as a result, I started to honor that office, and I'd speak over him, Pastor so-and-so, because of that. And then So this guy grows up in the culture of Bikers Church, and he goes to another church where they're serious about titles. I am Dr. So-and-so, I'm Reverend so-and-so, I'm whatever, and I'm not knocking that. Please, if you have a title, God bless you, and that's great. Give yourself a pat on the back. But he goes to this church where they are seriously hung up about titles. So he knows the people as Kevin, John, Paul, or whatever, and then one guy's, it's like Pastor Kevin. He keeps calling him Kevin. And the other people would say, "No, it's Pastor Kevin. It's Pastor Kevin." And he had to get it in his head. And this particular guy from Bikers Church was a guitarist. A very, very anointed, skilled guitarist. I mean, he's brilliant. And so he gets an opportunity to introduce himself in the light of the heavy that they place on titles. So they inshallah, "This is Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so." And he says, "Hi, I'm guitarist Charles." And it just really, really broke the ice, and they understood where he's coming from. But to be a good leader, you need to be a good follower. So ask yourself this question, how are you following whoever? Are you a good follower? Or do you have to continuously be reminded and told what to do? Now here's the deal. When it comes to leadership, listen to this. Environment determines growth, but leadership determines the environment. Environment determines growth, but the leadership determines the environment. If I was the kind of leader who is so concerned about his pulpit and fuss that niemand anders kan hier so preek nie, do you really think I'll ever be allowed or allowing other people's scope to grow and become who God has wanted them to be? If I have insecurity issues about my position and my title. You may have heard me say this, and if you haven't, you're going to hear it now. One of my heart's desires is to raise up men and women of God, pastors, leaders, that do a better job than I ever could have done in my lifetime. Then I know I've successfully passed the baton onto it. Or do I become threatened when a speaker comes or somebody comes to the body with more gifting, more abilities, more talents, and more anointing than me? Or do I become threatened? If I become threatened, then I'm not sure of my identity in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Because I have my position fat. But then you get... Yeah, let's just leave that for another time. Environment determines growth. Leadership determines environment. Consider what a planted seed needs to grow. The soil, the nutrients in the soil, the water, the sunlight, etc. And the leadership determines the environment. Now listen to this. You might be thinking, Mozzie, this is great. Maybe I came to the wrong church this morning. I didn't sign up for like a leadership seminar. Well, if you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, if you say that you follow Jesus, then in the world that's busy dying and fast on its way to hell, you're a leader who needs to show godly leadership. Can you say amen? It might start in your home as the head of your home. Let it not be the woman wat die boeke vat doen, wat die huis godsdienst hou. Let it not be the woman who take the initiative to lead the family in prayer. Let it not be the woman who take the initiative to teach the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It needs to be the men. Let it start there. When the family's strong there, then the church will be strong. When the church is strong, the nation will be strong. It needs to start there. It needs to start there. You know, one of the ways that you can test the health of a church, regardless of the demographics of the balance of males to females, check the prayer meetings. How many women are in the prayer meetings versus how many men are in the prayer meetings. Then you will see how many males are in the church versus how many godly men are in the church. It's very quiet here now. Why is it so often that it's the ladies taking the spiritual leadership in situations? That's why the world is in a mess. Sit down, woman. We laughed. There was a time and a place in the church where women weren't allowed to speak because they worshipped the goddess Diana. And Ephron said, mal gegaan. Why? Because there were no godly men. There were no godly men. The late Edwin Louis Cole said, being male is a matter of birth, being a man is a matter of choice. You choose to become like Jesus. I've never gotten over that. How's your manhood measured? By the amount that you can bench press or whatever? Come on, man. Get real. Okay. So consider what a seed needs, but also consider how leadership determines environment. Are we as leaders humble, teachable, team players or control freaks? It's my way or the highway because I am the... Really? What kind of an atmosphere for growth are you setting there as a leader? It's even quieter now. Do we insist on having it our own way just because we're in charge? A teachable person will learn from a child and be willing to embrace the ideas of others, even ideas better than their own. Yeah, we've always done it like this, and it's always going to be done like this. No change because I say so, I am the leader. Somebody that needless to say is no longer part of this fellowship, God bless them, once said, they used these words, I am the boss. When I heard it, I was very bent out of shape. Because me as Mozzie, I'm not the boss. I'm nobody's boss. You think I'm here to tell you what to do because I'm the pastor? Hello? Does anybody think that? I'm here to serve you like Christ serves us. I'm not the boss. And this folks says, I'm the boss. He's no longer here. He's moved on to other pastures where he can be the boss of his Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I. So, God bless them. I love them and I still pray for them. They're not doing well, by the way. Okay. Was there something funny on my face? Are you getting something from this? God has implemented many changes in CMA and Bikers churches across the country since November 2017. And will continue to do so as He builds His kingdom one heart at a time using faithful followers of Christ. God's made many changes in this ministry, and He'll continue to do so as He uses faithful followers of Christ as He changes this world one heart at a time. So here's the deal. The only permanency in this setup that you see and experience is the fact that change is here to stay. Did you get that? There's a kind of a conundrum, an oxymoron, not a conundrum, an oxymoron. The only permanency is the fact that change is here to stay. I want to move with what God is doing. We said last week is the truth. The Word is where God was at. It's what He said. Revelation is where He's at. We must move with that. We need to change our mindsets and the way we think. Statement was made. Leave that for another time. I'm digressing. I'm trying hard to stay focused, but I get excited. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I want to praise Jesus. Okay. The best leaders are the best followers, not the folks with the best gifts and abilities. That has its time, and that has its place. But here's the deal. That needs to be brought in humble submission to the Lord. God gives you gifts. He gives you abilities. He gives you talents. Not so that you can lord it over people. You see, one of the reasons, and here's the deal, one of the reasons why we as people find it so hard to follow people is because we were never made to dominate or be dominated. It's not part of our psyche as human beings or our DNA as people. We were never made to be dominated or dominate anybody. The concept in the biking culture of an epi that has to grovel and do all sorts of ridiculous things to earn his place, that goes against everything that is beautiful about the human nature that God has given us. You're not meant to be dominated and ruled and be a slave or a skivvy for anybody. That's the principle in the world. The Scripture teaches this principle, that the older will serve the younger. The older will serve the younger. Wat beteken dit? That if you see, I was sharing with so many of my biking friends yesterday. I was speaking about gray hairs and all sorts of stuff. And I said that, here's the principle. It's the senior men that are supposed to be serving the younger men. That's God's way of doing it. I know it doesn't sit well with the world. It doesn't sit well with the world. But I want to do it God's way. The senior men are supposed to be serving the younger men, to show the younger men how to treat people, how to honor people. Fathers, are you showing your sons how to treat women with respect and dignity instead of objects? The fathers must do that. The fathers must do that. Oh, Lord's laying on fathers on my heart this morning, but it's for somebody here. So it's not like the senior men, like now you get all the youngsters and the appies and the whatever and the rookies and the prospects running around doing your bidding for you. That's how the world sees it. That's not God's system. I wish people were shouting and saying, amen, pastor, preach it, but it's getting quieter and quieter. And I'm on page one of the sermon. The best is yet to come. God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. After 40 years of looking after his father-in-law's sheep, imagine that. What a leader. 40 years he's got to look after somebody else's sheep before God releases him to be Moses. Pastor Moses, the man with the most authority ever on earth besides Jesus. And you know why? Here's the key. Numbers, the 12th chapter and the third verse. I think it's the third. Yeah. Says this. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. The most humble man on the face of the earth also became the mightiest man on the face of the earth besides Jesus. Nobody since Moses has had that kind of authority with God. Nobody. The most. So can you see the thing? You want authority, you want mach and ruah. Well, you gotta be humble, pal. You gotta be humble. Isn't that beautiful? Ask Margaret. I'm loving this. All right. Because of his humility, Moses had more authority. Joseph had incredible dreams, symbolizing people bowing down to him as a teenager. He gets these dreams. Remember, you're at that age, you're a teenager, you know everything, and you're bulletproof, and nobody can tell you anything. So this youngster gets these dreams, these schemes. Yes! Then guess what happens? His brothers sell him. Then he's imprisoned. He gets betrayed by Mrs. Potiphar, the butler, that everybody betrays him, and he has these dreams. He has to go through all of that before God releases him to become the leader of the whole then known world, because he could follow God's call on his life. That's why he was an effective leader, because he could follow. The best leaders are the best followers. If you can't follow instructions, you're not leadership material, sir, ma'am. That's it. First, learn to follow instructions. Hello? You people are not liking this, and I don't care. I'm not in the caring business. I'm in the truth business. Hallelujah. Okay. Then Saul gets promoted because the people insist on having a king. We want a king. We want a king. God says, right, you want a king. This is going to happen. He's going to droog maak. He's going to teleerstel. No, we want a king. So God says, have a king. And he gets a king. And they get a king. And he was good looking. I mean, taller than him, better looking than all of them, great. And because he decided to do it his way, he lost all of that authority. He lost all of that authority. And God anointed another man as King David. You can catch up that story in 1 Samuel 15, 10 to 23. We're not going to read it. 1 Samuel 15, 10 to 23. And in that passage of scripture, it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. God told him to wipe everything out. Saul decided to do it his way, and he kept a few things alive. Samuel comes to him and says, didn't God say do this? Yeah, but I did exactly what the Lord told me to. Bull dust. So the Samuel says, oh really? Then what is the sound of bleating sheep I hear in my ears? Because he couldn't follow instructions. He's not God's leader. Not good enough. David's army was so strong, and I want you to turn to this place in your Bible and highlight this place, please. If you've got an electronic Bible, highlight it. David's army was so strong because his army consisted of men. Kijk, David, I love David. There's different, I'm going to try and get back to the message. But there was, this excites me about David. There's different anointings that God has given different people, but the scripture teaches that God anointed David's fingers to enable him to kill people. How many of you would like that? Talk about a lethal assassin, where God enables your fingers to kill people. Anointed his fingers for war. I like it. I want to be with David one day and teach me a few things. But so imagine what a leader like that, imagine what your army's like. So these were men. You read about David's soldiers, the people in his army. You don't mess with these dudes. You don't mess with them. But it wasn't their abilities that made them so strong and successful. But because David could follow God, David's followers could follow David, that made the army so successful. And it says of this, that David's men were mighty men, strong men, that could keep ranks. Highlight that. It's only like that in the New King James. The other translations don't get it quite the same. I'll give it to you now. Relax. It's coming. They were men that could keep ranks. 1 Chronicles 12 and 33 in the New King James. They were men who could keep ranks. So as a leader this morning, how are you doing when it comes to keeping ranks? Yeah, but I know better. Okay? You're not ready for leadership. You're not ready for leadership. And that applies to your life personally, whether you have a position or a title in a secular workplace, in whatever industry you're in, or wherever God has called you, or wherever He's placed you to be right now. Are you a good follower? Because if you're a good follower, God will release you to be a good leader. The scripture says, of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war, with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. David himself was subjected to years and years and years of abuse. He gets anointed as king as a young teenager, and then he has to go and play music for Saul to drive away the demonic spirits, and has to do all these things, gets mocked and ridiculed by his brothers, saying, "Ah, you're just good to deliver cheese, you're the delivery boy," and he has to literally run and hide to save his life. All of that stuff before he gets released as king. He had to learn to follow before he could be released into leadership. And Jesus followed and did only what God showed him. The one to whom all authority was given, all authority in heaven and on earth, was given to Jesus. And then Jesus sent him to earth, and you know the story. Jesus built and started his church, and left the Holy Spirit to continue that work that he started. But Jesus knew how to follow. And we see a beautiful passage of Scripture as to help us understand how that ended. This willingness of Jesus to follow. In John 5 and verse 19 in the New King James says, "And then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" Every time they questioned Jesus and questioned his authority, "But why this and how this and who the hell gives you the right to do?" He said, "The Father, the Father, the Father." He always redirected the people's attention and the focus to the Father, because he was trying to teach them, "You want to see the Father, you want to see the Father. But if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Always the Father, the Father." And then he sends us the Comforter, the Promise, the Helper, the Counselor, the one who convicts us, the one who guides, the one who leads, the one who teaches, the one who reminds us. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then does exactly what Jesus did. Jesus drew everybody's attention to the Father. The Holy Spirit draws our attention to Jesus, to Jesus, to Jesus. The Scripture says, God is looking for people who worship in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit enables us to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. John 4:23, there or thereabouts. So the Holy Spirit's role and function and purpose is to focus your attention to Jesus, to Jesus, to Jesus, all the time, to Jesus, to Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But the principle is this. Jesus taught us how to follow. He then sends the Holy Spirit to teach us how to follow, so that we can become the leaders in the world that we are supposed to be as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that by the Spirit of God, He enables us to realize and see the urgency of the hour in which the Church of Jesus Christ finds itself in 2019. We're in an urgent, urgent, critical time worldwide. I cannot go into too much detail now, but I attended a meeting from a group of people known as FORSA, Freedom of Religion South Africa, where they explained and showed us in detail exactly what is busy happening in Parliament right now as we speak, where the enemy is raising up sons and daughters of Satan to deliberately silence the voice of the church and make it legal. Make it legal to persecute those who preach and teach. A church made their parenting material available on their website. A person downloaded off the website, and according to the book of Proverbs, it gives scriptural guidelines for how to raise your child. That church was taken to court on that, saying it's child abuse and all these kind of things. So as a result, an advocate in the church, God laid it on her heart and got a team of people so far to be able to represent Christians in Parliament to make sure that this legislation does not come to pass. A pastor was invited to address assembly at a high school, like I've been done several times, and he had just a brief, a 5-10 minute gap to speak to the kids. And amongst other things, he spoke about honoring their bodies and looking after their bodies, and he said, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Somebody that was at the assembly went and told somebody else who was not there about this. That third party then took this pastor to court and sued him for being a hater of people with a different sexual orientation. This is happening. Case after case after case after case. A popular speaker, ladies, I encourage you, get her material, get her DVDs, listen to her. She'll teach you how to become a God-fearing woman that your husband loves. Her name is Greta Veed. I mean, no, Greta Veed. I love that woman. God bless her. Yeah. I love the woman of God that she is. You get four kinds of love. Just get your minds right out of the gutters here. I love Greta V, but I love this woman. But God is using her to teach people, men and women, certain things that men and women need to know. And she published a book written specifically for teenagers on I forget the title of the books, but it's Ken Jou Lewe for Meisies and Ken Jou Lewe for Seuns. She was taken to court and lost the court case where she was instructed to take that stuff out of the books. It cannot be published like that anymore, or take the books off the shelves. That's the kind of opposition that we're facing in the world today. So you've got to ask yourself, what kind of a leader is God expecting me to be as a Christian? You think it's just for you to come and join a holy huddle on a Sunday with a crazy key on your neck, or a sticker key up your bike, or a badge up your cuts, that say, ek is a hemelbestormer? No. If you're a child of God, you have a role to play, a leadership role in your community, to make a stand for the cause of Jesus Christ and be a voice that is not stifled and not quietened. There's an organization called the CRL that are specifically focusing on trying to pass legislation to get the state to regulate religious organizations. Look at the history of the church. It is a disaster. It is an absolute recipe for disaster, where the state can rule and can rule religious organizations. Folks, we have a time to speak up and be a legitimate voice, legitimate authority. But ons nie vir mense kan vingerwys and say, hey, you're a muhu, turn or burn, you're going to hell, you jerk. You say, no, you need some lifestyle changes. Can I love you and pray for you and serve you in a place where you can meet my Jesus? That's the difference. Authentic spiritual authority comes from having authentic humility. The more humble you are, guys and ladies, the level of godly authority in your life is directly proportionate to the level of humility in your life. The level of godly authority in your life is directly proportionate to the level of humility in your life. Okay, so that's about four. So, all right. If, listen to this. Sure. I'll say this again. So it means I must have wanted to have said it again. If authority exalts you instead of humbling you, you're not mature enough for it. Okay. As we get to the tail end of what God has to say to us this morning, are we only 10 minutes into the preaching? So what's wrong there? How long have I been speaking? Somebody help me. How long? 40 minutes. And in 40 minutes, is daai ding nog nie reg nie. God help you guys. Moving right along. Okay. If someone asks you, how can I get to heaven? If someone asks you, how can I get to heaven? Are you in a position to say this? Are you ready for this, church? If somebody asks you, how can I get to heaven? Can you say, follow me? Can you say that? And if you can't, why not? Now, it's not arrogance. I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture. It's not arrogance. If somebody asks you, how can I get to heaven? You're probably going to think of some gospel presentation, the Roman road, CAM, EE3, the four spiritual principles, or the four spiritual, some kind of a gospel presentation, the Roman road, something. But if somebody asks you, how can I get to heaven? Can you say, follow me? I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Can you say that? If you can't, then there's room for improvement in your life. Nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. So here it goes. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Paul says this, therefore I urge you, imitate me. The Apostle Paul says, imitate me. Children see, children do. Children see, children do. Parents, your kids, you know this by now. If you've had them for longer than 120 soiled nappies, If you had them for longer than 120 soiled nappies, you'll know that children will do what you do, not what you say. Not what you say. I was speaking to my brother Stephen yesterday from the Max, telling me the delight in his heart. He's just overflowing with how he's 54 years old and his four-year-old granddaughter is teaching him so much about the things of God. His little granddaughter comes and sits across his chest. Stephen's got a chest. And the granddaughter sits, waits by an urom, and says, Vat salfolie wat van Israel gekom het, nee? Sy het dit goed bekom, ek weet nie, nie die kind nie, maar 'n volwasse. She takes the oil and she anoints him on his forehead. Anoints him on his forehead. Because she sees this. And then friends come over to pray, friends come over to eat. Going to feed their paholes and gemraai. And then they get ready to eat, and the four-year-old says, Opa, ga opa nie bid nie. And die kuier mense is soos, oh, but the four-year-old is taking the leadership in the home. Hoe werk dit dan? Hoe werk dit dan? Can you say, imitate me? Children see, children do. Wow, and that's just, he was blowing me away with these stories. I was so blessed. I had a wonderful time there. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Paul says this, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, we should be able to say, if somebody asks you, how do I get to heaven? Say, follow me as I follow Christ. Does it mean that you're never going to struggle and fall and stumble? No, you're going to. The scripture says that though a righteous man falls 7 times, but when the world sees how you experience and accept and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how you in humility go and repent before God, they will see, okay, there's a chance for me too. I'm not so bad that I cannot be helped. When they see what happens, how you struggle and fall and get up again, because greater is He who's in you than he that's in the world, they'll see, okay, I can follow Christ. And when I make a mistake, Jesus Christ has paid the price for me at the cross of Calvary. There's room at the throne room of God because of His grace. Can you say amen? Therefore, we can say, when you're real, people see that you're real and what happens and how you deal with your mistakes and your shortcomings the issue you see, folks, we're set free and delivered from the power of sin, but not the presence of sin. You get that, all right? When they see how you deal with the presence of sin in your life, they'll say, okay, dis die moeite werd om daai persoon te volg. Dis die moeite werd om daai persoon te volg. We must be at the place where we can say, follow me as I follow Jesus. Can you do that this morning? Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It says, this, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I've said this, please don't ever do what I say. Do what I do. That's all I ask. For us as a church, to fulfill this vision that God has given us, bringing the unchurched into the family of God, to advance His kingdom, just do what I do. And when I'm doing something wrong, come speak to me about it. Just make sure that the speck is out of your eye. See? That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit it. Imitate the faith of your leaders, some translations say. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of somebody humbling themselves so that God could promote him. We're going to get ready to worship the Lord again, and I want the deep end to come up, and I think it was that salt and light song. There's a line there that says, may my life be a song that, what, help me with the lyrics, Louis, what does it say? May my life be a song that, may my life be a song revealing who you are. Wat se tipe liedjie speel jou lewe vanoggend? I want to rock, yeah. There's nothing wrong with rock music, okay? All music was invented by God. It's been just, but that's for another time. So here's this, it says this in Philippians 2. 5 to 11. It says the following. From the New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And it's because of all of that that Jesus did. Then it says, therefore, everybody say, therefore. That's saying, because of this that Jesus done, because he humbled himself, because of he wasn't clinging to a title or a position, because he humbled himself and was prepared to follow. Therefore, it's because of these things, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Because he done that, because he was willing to serve like that, because he humbled himself, because he chose to follow the Father. So church, this morning, where are you? I don't know where you are at in your life. Maybe you're at the place where you've got to, you believe in Jesus and you know Jesus, but jy volg hom nie eintlik soos wat jy weet jy moet hom volg nie. Well, then you're in the right place this morning. My encouragement to you is that you get to a place where you make a decision. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Christian means you're like Christ. You follow him. Maybe at that place where you need to make a decision, I want to follow Jesus like that this morning. There's a clip that the intercessors have sent to me, and then somebody put it on the Writing for the Sun group about a pastor that teaches the congregation about obeying the voice of the shepherd. In John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear me, I know them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And the woman is blindfolded and the pastor leads her to get to do some certain things. And the principle is this. Make a decision this morning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God is telling you to do and follow Jesus. And then follow people who are following Jesus. That will help you follow Jesus. And then I just sense the Lord say this. I sense God saying to somebody, Maatskapie hou stock taking, einde van die maand, nee. Take stock of who you're following. Take stock of who you're following. And I sense the Lord say this. Take heed of where you park your motorcycle. Where are you parking your bike? The place where you park your motorcycle. The direction that those people are going in. Is that the direction that Jesus wants you to go in? Can you see the gist of it? Because if you're on a motorcycle, either you're coming from somewhere or going somewhere. You're coming from somewhere or you're going somewhere. So where are you parking your motorcycle, sir, ma'am? So if you're not a biker, we'll forgive you for that. But where's your life parked right now? Where's your life parked right now? Who are you following? Who are you following? Father, as we seek your face this morning, Lord, we're blown away by the fact that Jesus would humble himself. Were he so worthy of being exalted and lifted up and glorified and om sy naam groot te word, Here, is groot te maak. Hy verdien al die eer, al die lof, al die albring. En al die goeie woorde, al die awesome liedjies, al die musiek, alles wat goed is. Al die roem, kom na hom toe. Hy verdien dit en toch het hy besluit om homself te humble. Om op 'n kruis te sterf vir ons ondalwe. Here, ons sê vir u dankie vir dit. And Jesus, you paid the ultimate price. You humbled yourself. You came and washed the feet of those that would betray you. Washed the feet of those who would desert you. And yet you still love them. And Jesus, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you're in our midst this morning. And we want more of you. Lord, teach us how to be Christ followers that follow you in obedient humility. Teach us how to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, not listen to the lies of the world and dictators and false leaders and emptiness and promises and lies of the enemy. Let our ears grow deaf to those to those voices and more attuned to what you're saying to us, Spirit of God. Lord, as individuals, we come to you this morning and ask, Holy Spirit, teach us how to be followers of Christ. And we follow more obediently than ever before, more diligently than ever before. That we're quick to hear and quick to obey in the name of Jesus. And help us as a church, Lord, grow in this area as we learn to follow you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for each person, Lord God, that discernment and understanding to hear you, Holy Spirit, to sense your promptings, to recognize how you speak, to see you in the circumstances and the places that you're taking us to, Lord God. If you're here at a place this morning and maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus like that, and you want to do so. If that is you this morning, and you want to make a commitment, maybe you've made it before and you've lost track, you've gone off course, and you've done your own thing for a while because of whatever reasons, people and circumstances and whatever. Maybe as gevolg van jou eie hardnekkigheid, jy weet jy droog gemaak daarso. But God is a God of grace. That's why we're here this morning. And if you here, my brother, my sister, and you want to make a commitment, not to me, not to this church, not to a patch, but to the Lord. You want to make a commitment to the Lord this morning to follow Him more resolutely and more obediently than ever before. If that is you, raise your hand. Anybody like that, put your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? One more time. There we go. Would you stand as we worship the Lord together? Everybody stand, please. And you've sent your Holy Spirit to speak that into our hearts this morning. So we want to come in agreement with you, Father God, and with you, Lord Jesus, and with what the Holy Spirit has spoken into our hearts this morning. We want to come in agreement with that as folks have raised their hands to say, Lord, we want to follow you more obediently and more diligently than ever before. And I pray your anointing upon every person, Lord, that has raised their hands, Lord, and those that perhaps have not raised their hands but have that desire in their hearts. Here, you ken ons deur en deur in elk geval. Of ons hande opsit in die lig of nie, you know us, Lord. So I pray for every person who has that desire. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, enable us to follow you like never before. Equip us, strengthen us, anoint us, guide us, lead us, protect us, Lord. And I just sense the Lord say this as we're praying. Some of you, God has shown you dreams and things that are so big, you know, jy weet al klaar, financially it's impossible. And that's good. Because with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26 says that with God, many things are, with man, many things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God says this, if you're in that situation, and you know, maybe it's just enough money to, om die einde van die dag te kan sien. Maybe it's just enough money for tomorrow. Maybe it's for long-term projects, whatever God says is. Where God truly calls, God truly provides. Where God truly calls, God truly provides. And He will fit the bill for His vision and His purposes. In Jesus' name. Not your plans and your schemes. He will fit the bill for His kingdom purposes to come to pass in your life. Mits jy saam met hom werk. Mits jy saam met hom werk. Thank you for that, Lord. And Father, as we part and go our separate ways, as sons and daughters and we people that we are salt shakers and light bearers, Lord, may we, by the grace of God, and by you, Holy Spirit, may you empower us to make a difference out there in the world where we go, Father. May our lives be songs that reveal your glory. May we be Christ followers that follow so closely after you that people would want to follow you inside of us in the name of Jesus. And when we stumble and fall, we thank you that there's grace sufficient for that. To the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Can we shout loud and make a declaration to the Lord this morning?